Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. God, thank you for, God, for you allowing us to take part in your commission, Lord. God, you could tear the rent the sky apart, Lord, and shout from the heavens, Lord, but you choose to use us, Lord, and we thank you for that, Lord. We are honored and humbled to do that, and Lord, pray that you would bless us right now, Lord, that you would just anoint this time, that your spirit would be with us in your name, amen. Well, the verse that we're going through, that Kevin shared, Matthew 22:34-40, and it's Jesus talking to the Pharisees. But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." And as Kevin shared last week, he talked about love and the priority of love, of God's love in our hearts. And he talked about the different types of love, phileo love. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And then agape love, which is not looking for anything in return. And today, I'm going to share on loving the Lord with all of our heart. So that's an easy one to talk about, right? The heart. I did a little dictionary.com search on what that word means. It's real easy to do that. You can do it all in this. It's the center of total personality, our motives, our inner self. It's us. It's me. It's our inner self. It's who we are. The center of our total personality. And there's so many sayings and phrases that we use with the word heart in it. I just ran through a bunch of them that we say all the time. If someone's asking for advice, what does your heart tell you? Who's ever said that? What does your heart tell you? Something in your life not going great. You know, my heart just wasn't into it. You may have said that. Memorizing something, I know it by heart. Follow your heart. You do so, you offend somebody, and they say back to you, "I know in your heart you didn't mean it." In your heart. We need to test and see what's in his heart. And then as I was getting ready, I was sitting over here, and there's a little nervous tension over here on the row if I'm sharing. I don't know if you notice, but there is. I'm sure you all notice, right? Because you're all looking at me. You know, so it's like kind of like before in the locker room before a football game. You just, there's a little nervous tension. Simeon, I apologize. He's up there singing a song, and I'm kind of going through my notes, and I was listening. You know, but there's some nervous tension. There just is before ever I share, even before offerings. And then Aaron just leaned over to me and says, "Just speak from your heart." So there it is. There's another saying that we say, speaking from our heart, who we are. And the Bible really has a lot to say about our hearts, about the heart. It is very obvious, it is very clear that God really cares about our hearts. There's so many verses. The Bible, it talks more about the heart than worship, service. The heart is, there's so many verses with the heart in it. And so many ways to go with this topic, talking about this, loving the Lord with all your heart. And we could have five different people and all different angles on it, on what God would speak to them on. When I started dating Aaron 14 years ago, I had just turned 30 years old. Yeah, I'm almost 44. And I met her family for the first time. I remember meeting Matt and David and Paige. And seeing them interact, these four siblings interact. I've never seen anyone interact like that. It's just close and friends. And obviously they all have disagreements and things like that. But the level of intimacy between them and the friendship and the character in each one of these four kids. Courtney and I and that other guy, Hunter. You know, it's just all a joke. I love Hunter. We realize how blessed we are I mean, as far as in-laws, we scored big time. I mean, I'm sitting around on a Thanksgiving table. How did I get this? And I love my family. You know, I do. It's amazing. I'm just very blessed to be part of this family. And I've talked to Kevin, and others have talked to Kevin about parenting and the amazing parent that he is, and Dudley as well. And one of the things that he always says when parenting a child, his children, is getting to their heart. That it's about getting to their heart. It's not about just behavior. It's about getting their hearts. And Aaron has many stories of very long conversations with Kevin as growing up in high school and things, and if they're disagreeing on something, and like a three-hour conversation. In the first hour, and Kevin's doing most of the talking, which is good. It's really good. If you're having an issue, there's nowhere you wouldn't, better place to be than the other side of Kevin Davenport's desk, I believe. Marriage, anything. He's the wisdom that he has. And the first hour, Aaron says, she's just like this, not listening. Maybe listening, but just not, the walls are up. And Kevin doesn't stop. He pushes through. The second hour, she starts to break, pushing through it. And then by the third hour, she has broken, and Kevin's in there, and he's working, and he's in her heart. And that is what he does, and getting the heart, not just about behavior, because she probably could have apologized real early in that first hour and been done, you know? But that's not it. That's not what he was... And that's not what he's looking for. Kevin is going for the bigger... He's looking out for the bigger picture. He sees her as an adult and as a mom, and now I'm witnessing her do it with Cade. And so he goes for our hearts. And God does the same thing. The Lord wants our hearts. It's not so much about behavior. We get very caught up in our behavior and the things we're doing. But God wants our heart. It's the same principle. And I wanted to read from Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34. And he says, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." He gives us a new heart. He writes his law on our hearts. In Ezekiel 36, 24 through 28, Peter's going to earn his money today. I have a lot of verses we're going to go through. "For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers, so you will be my people, and I will be your God." When we came to the Lord, when we repented and our sins are forgiven, he has taken that heart of stone and given us a heart of flesh. The heart is very important to God. Not just our works. Samuel, "For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." We're trying to do the same thing with our kids, as Kevin did with theirs, and going after our heart, after their hearts, our kids' hearts. Cade, he's just turned eight years old, and we feel like we're doing a good job, and it's still a process. Lucy is a little tougher. You know, it's funny, when everything, we discovered the tumor in Cade 2 days after Lucy was born. And I'm going to tell you, for the first 6 months, Lucy was the calmest, nicest kid. Just a great baby. I missed the first 3 months. We were in the hospital. But coming home, and we have this new routine now with therapies and driving this way and that, and it's still the exact same schedule. But I remember saying to people, yeah, but thank God, and I mean this, that, you know, Lucy is a nice, mellow kid. That is God's grace. I probably said that about five times to different people. Yeah, God's grace. Lucy's been is so mellow. I think she heard me. Because somewhere about the ninth month, a switch got flipped. And it's a different deal. And I love her. I love it. I love the fire she has. You know, I love the spunkiness she has. But the words mine and me, those, it's there. She did not need to be taught that. Not that any of us did. But we're going for her heart. And that is it. That is our goal. That is what we believe God is calling us to get her heart. And again, it's a process. And we fight. We resist that. She resists that. And we resist God. We resist. There is a battle for our hearts. Every day. We are all fighting a battle for our hearts. I wanted to read from Proverbs 4, 23. But above all things, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. We are told to guard our hearts. Why would we need to do that? We're in a battle. God wants us to guard our hearts. Things can get in there. I love in Lord of the Rings, Frodo Baggins. I'm not going too much into that, maybe. But Frodo, he's taking the ring to try to destroy the ring, and the Black Riders were the bad guys, and he puts the ring on, and he gets stuck with the sword. And Charles Simpson refers to this part of the story a lot. And a piece of the blade broke off inside of Frodo. And he's okay, you know, and they're taking him to Rivendell, which is the good place where he's going to hopefully be healed. But that piece of the blade is slowly working its way towards his heart. It's working towards his heart, and he's changing. In the movie that they just did, they really did a great job. His eyes start changing, and if it gets to his heart, they would have lost him. He would be like one of those nine Black Riders. He would have been lost. It's working its way towards his heart. We need to guard our hearts. Because there is an enemy who is trying to get to the center of our hearts. So to guard our hearts, but above all things, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life. Aaron loves to garden. I don't love to garden. We go to Home Depot or Lowe's. Aaron loves to make that left into the garden section. Not that I love to go right and walk around Home Depot. It's my favorite place. It's not. I'm not the handiest guy in the world. I could show you by the pictures I've tried to hang that have holes all over the walls, and that's not a beam. Those beam finders lie. They don't work at all. They stud finders. What I see? Exactly. Erica corrected me. But Erin loves to garden. She's got things going out in the backyard and things, and it's work. It really is. For those of you that do it, it does not take much for weeds to grow. You don't have to plant weeds. You have to do nothing, and weeds are there. It's the work is pulling them out. And if a little weed right away, you pull it out, it's got a cute little root. There it is, got it all, throw it away. You let that thing go, you're yanking and it's pulling out and it's deep, and the roots, sometimes they'll break off. You don't get the root. It's deep in there. Well, it's the same with our hearts. We have to be constantly diligent and guard our hearts from things that are getting into it. One of the things I want to talk about that we need to guard our hearts from is from routine. Living in a life of routine, or rote would be the word. John Eldredge has a great book called Waking the Dead. Eric told me about it. And he talks about Narnia. He talks about so many of these great, great things. And then he talks about Wizard of Oz. If we've seen Wizard of Oz, raise your hand if you've seen Wizard of Oz. I'm sure we've all seen it. But in the book, The Wizard of Oz, it talks about the Tin Man. He was not always a man of tin. I don't know if you know this story. In the movie, oh, there he is, hey, the Tin Man. He wants a heart. But he was not always a man of tin. He was a regular man in Oz. And he was in love with one of the Munchkin ladies. He was in love. But the deal was he could not marry her unless he's worked hard enough and made enough money to buy a cottage, to buy them a house. So his job is a woodsman. So he's chopping wood and lumber. Well, this maiden that he wants to marry lives with an old woman who doesn't want her to marry him because she does all the work in the house. The lady doesn't want to lose her maid and her slave to do all the work. So she goes to the Wicked Witch. Not the Wicked Witch of the West, the Wicked Witch of the East, the one who had the house dropped on her. Goes to the Wicked Witch of the East and says, you got to do something. I'm going to lose this maiden who's doing all the work and I don't want to do it. So the Wicked Witch of the East puts a spell on the Tin Man on his axe. So as he's working, he chops off his leg. And then there's a tinsmith around who makes him a leg of tin. And then he's still working, chops off the other leg. Does it, puts a nut, now he has two legs of tin. Then two arms, then his head, and he has a tin head. But the thing is, he's working, and now he's got like this made of tin, so he's able to work a lot harder with efficiency, and he's like, this is great, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna win, I'm gonna get enough money, and we're gonna get married. So he's working, and then, actually I wanna read from the Wizard of Oz. I thought I had beaten the Wicked Witch then, and I worked harder than ever, but I little knew how cruel my enemy could be. She thought of a new way to kill my love for the beautiful Munchkin maiden and made my axe slip again so that it cut right through my body, splitting it into two halves. Once more, the tinner came to my help and made me a body of tin, fastening my tin arms and legs and head to it by means of joints so that I could move around as well as ever. But alas, I now had no heart, so that I lost all my love for the Munchkin girl and did not care whether I married her or not. It goes on, it was a terrible thing to undergo, but during the year I stood there, because he rested, I had time to think that the greatest loss I had known was the loss of my heart. While I was in love, I was the happiest man on earth, but no one can love who has not a heart, and so I am resolved to ask Oz to give me one. If he does, I will go back to the Munchkin maiden and marry her. While the Tin Man was made of tin before he had lost his heart, he was working. He was efficient, but it was robotic. It was a machine, just going through things. He was efficient, but we can get into that. We can be very efficient people with our jobs, our careers. We can get into a lot of routines in our life. Aaron and I have routines down. With our schedule and things, it just goes. It just goes. And we could get lost. We could fall into this, what's called the rote. And a definition of rote: a mechanical or habitual repetition of something to be learned. A mechanical or habitual repetition. Doing without feeling anything. We're just doing without feeling anything. We could be in rote sitting in these chairs every Sunday, and it could be rote. We know what's going to happen next, and that's what I love about this church. We don't. I love that. I love that every Sunday's not the same. It's true. It's not always like that in some churches. It's a lot the same every week. You know what's going to happen next. I love that we don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know to plan for 20 minutes or 45 when I'm up here. I kind of look and I judge, okay, I got 4 minutes left. Which is great. I love it. It's life. It's alive. And because God is here, Spirit is here. But we could get in our lives just the rote, routine, activity, going through the motions. There were a group of people in the Bible who had the routines down. They had them all down. They were really good at the doing, and that group is the Pharisees. I wanted to read from Matthew 23 through 27. I'm sorry, Matthew 23, verse 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. And in Matthew 15, 7 through 9, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Pharisees did everything right. On the outside, they were whitewashed, very nice. But on the inside, their hearts were far from God. Again, it's not about behavior. It's not about just the doing. It's about our hearts. It's about what's inside. That's what God cares about. Inside of our hearts. Not just the doing, but that it's coming from within. And in Luke 6:43 through 45. For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. Out of our heart are these fruits of righteousness that we're hoping for. That is God. Jesus says, you will know them by their fruit. And it comes from within. If you've ever tasted a rotten apple on a tree, if it's a bad tree, I mean, okay, maybe it was just that apple. So you take another bite of another one. Oh, that one's bad too. Let's try another one. Oh, they're all bad. What's the problem? It's not the tree. It's not the apples. It's the tree. It's the root. It's the sap. It's inside. So only caring about behavior is the equivalent of, okay, well, here's the problem. Let's just chop all those apples off. Let's just pick all the apples, and we'll try again. And then the next harvest, it's the same thing. It's rotten. Because the problem is not in the apple. It's not in the behavior. The problem is deeper. It's in the root of the tree. That tree needs to be re-sown. There's nothing you can do for that. It needs to be re-sown. It's in the sap of the tree. Well, it's the same with us, trying to change, just change our behavior. I mean, the worst thing we could do, is walking out of a service and saying, all right, I'm going to tighten up my bootstraps, and here I go. I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try really, really hard to love my neighbor. What does that look like? It's got to be from our hearts. It comes from sitting with God. And it comes from within. The fruit's good. The apple, I mean, you taste it. You can't control that. You can't get to that. A change of heart is too deep. We can't get to our own hearts. Only God can do that. And what we could do is there's a certain amount of surrender that needs to happen. We need to surrender and let God do what only he can do. But we try and try and try and try and try. It's the swimmer who's drowning out in the water, and the lifeguard waits and he waits and he waits. What are you waiting for? Go save him. And he waits, and then the guy goes under. Then he goes, grabs him, pulls him out, saves his life. Why did you wait? Because the kicking and the screaming would have pulled the lifeguard right under with him. There comes a point where you just got to give up, surrender, whatever it is, and then God can do some work. We need to get out of his way and just let him work in our hearts. We can't do it. It's too deep. I can't change the rotten fruit. God has to do it. Has to change the root of the tree. And the other thing that we battle is a divided heart. Our heart, so we have the battling against the rote routine, doing without feeling, living a life without from our hearts, and then a heart that is divided. Last night we were putting the kids down. Aaron was putting Kay down. I was putting Lucy down at the same time, and we were both reading from the Bible, because that's the kind of parents we are. Usually I'm telling Cade, we call them Hulk stories. And they're stories about the Incredible Hulk that I make up. But last night, not usually, but I do that too. We were reading from the Bible. And it's funny, Aaron was reading from Genesis from, Cade has a real Bible, and he just turned 8, so we're going to start reading from the real Bible. And I'm reading with a little beginner's Bible that was actually Paige's when she was little, and is now was Cade's, and now I'm reading it from Lucy. And we're both reading the story of Adam and Eve. at the same time. And so there's Adam and Eve, and God creates them and creates this garden and puts them right in the middle of it with all these things for them to enjoy, the food, the fruit, and everything about it. And the best part of it is God reigned in their heart. God was there with them. And then they ate from the tree that they weren't supposed to eat of, and they fell. And at that moment, Tozer talks about this, there's a big switch. Now God is no longer in the middle. All those things that God made for them on the outside have now forced their way in, and God is now out. So it's a complete switch. And that's the battle. That's the battle. It's all these things that want to take the throne of our heart that God was made to reign on, to sit in, the throne of our hearts. But at the fall, all these other things that were meant to be outside of us have now taken the throne. And the battle is to cast that out, to search our hearts, to guard our hearts. What is it? What are some things that God is talking to us about right now? Things that we're holding on to with white knuckles. I love the story or what we just saw in the clip from Son of God. You see Jesus flipping the temples. It was real quick. But I think with me, there's some things in my heart that Jesus needs to flip the tables of. What is this doing here? Get this out. Get this out. These things that we're letting grow in our hearts, these weeds with gardening that we're letting grow in our hearts, we need to kind of clean house a little bit in our own hearts, whatever that is, whatever that looks like. Bill talked about God taking up residency in our hearts just now before. And if you've had, I have a bunch of keys. I have keys in my classroom, different keys, and we all have different keys. Keys that open up different doors. God has taken up residency in our hearts. But are there some parts, are there some rooms that we're not giving him the key to? Lord, you can have this, you can have this, you can have at it. But this one's for me. That's my man cave. Okay? You know, that's off limits. You know, there are these areas of our life that we kind of hold on to. We want to serve, and that's good. But at the end of the day, we want to have a little bit left over for us, for me. You know? Yeah, that's what I want. I'm going to do this. But at the end of the day, I need 20 minutes. I got to zip through idle real quick. I want my me time. It's making a comeback. So God wants the master key. He needs to have free reign of the whole house. And that's scary. That's scary because we do. We have those rooms that we hold on to. But to let it go and let him have free reign of our hearts, that is the abundant life. If he has that, if he is reigning on the throne of our hearts, it's the way it's supposed to be. But we forget that when he's not. We just forget. And then when we let him take up residence again, or we put him in his proper place first in our life, we say, what was I thinking? How could I be so foolish? Why was I caring so much about these other things? Does that mean those other things are out of our life forever? No, it's not saying that. But they're not on the throne of our hearts. That's the difference. We have it. It's still in our life, but it just doesn't own us. They're outside of us. And that's, I think, one of the keys to the abundant life. I'll end it with Augustine. He says, "Thou hast formed us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in God. With him on the throne of our hearts, reigning and living that abundant life, and to want that. I think maybe the prayer is, Lord, make me hungry for that abundant life. Because I'm kind of satisfied with the rote. Things are going kind of good. So Lord, change that in me. Make me not satisfied with rote. Make me not satisfied with anything else on the throne of my heart that isn't supposed to be there. Make me hungry. Maybe that is our prayer. The movie Lone Survivor. It was a great movie. A bunch of us went and saw it a couple weeks ago, and I think Kevin quoted it last week or talked about it. They're battling. They're in the middle of this heated battle, and it's not looking good. And one of the men turns to the other and says, if I die, I need you to make sure that Cindy knows how much I love her. The other soldier says, she knows. And then he says, and that I died with my brothers and with a full heart. I want to live with a full heart. I want to live that abundant life that only comes with God in his proper place, living in fellowship with him, sitting at his feet more, whatever I need to do that to get in that place where I am getting out of the way and letting God work through me and having my heart full with him in his proper place, reigning supreme on the throne of my heart. Let's pray. Lord, God, we thank you, Lord, for this word. God, we pray, Lord, that you would search our hearts right now. God, search each one of our hearts. Lord, if there's any area that we are holding on to, any area, Lord, that we are not surrendering to you, God, speak to our hearts. God, we pray against any routine. Lord, we want your abundant life. We want to live our life to the fullest with you, Lord, working through us, that our hearts would find our rest in you as you reign supreme in our hearts. In your name, amen.